Going to John's Gospel chapter 13, please. John's Gospel chapter 13, continuing the one and others. Men are not known for their multitasking, but on the 11th of August, God willing, I'm going to have to multitask a little bit. I have to give Abigail away, and then I have to marry her, and then I have to preach at the wedding. And I know some have been showing interest in maybe coming up to view the wedding. It's on the 11th of August. It's in Coke Baptist Church. It's at 12 a.m. And for anyone who comes up from Refreeland, there is refreshments in the church for the guests, but I'm extending that to everyone that comes from Refreeland. If you're free and you'd like to come up to the wedding, you're more than welcome. And I said there will be tea and refreshments in the hall immediately after the wedding. They're not from the Coke visitors. They're just for Refreeland people because they're special. And so if you're coming along, you'd be more than welcome. We'd love to see you. I'd love to invite you all to the wedding. But I'm bankrupt as it is. I'd have been doubly bankrupt. And I don't think the treasure would have coughed up. But thank you very much. If you are there, we would love to see you. And don't feel you have to come, of course. But if you are free and you'd like to come up and witness it, well, you're more than welcome, and there will be tea for anyone that comes up from Refreeland. John chapter 13. I'm just going to read one verse, but keep your Bibles open because we'll be referring to most of the chapter, certainly the first part of the chapter. John 13 and verse 14 as we continue to look at the one and others. And the Lord Jesus is the speaker here. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. We'll just read verse 15, for I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done unto you. And we'll end there, and we trust the Lord will bless the reading of his own precious, infallible, and inspired word to our hearts this morning. John chapter 13 through to John chapter 17 has been described as the holiest of all when we come to the Word of God. Many people look at John's Gospel as the holy place. Something special about it. There's something heavenly about it. There's something Christ exalting about. Of course, all scripture is, but there's something special about John's gospel. It's a holy place. And as I say, when you come to John 13 through to John 17, you're in the Holy of Holies. You're in the upper room discourse. And it's a special time for the Lord, a time that he takes with his own people. So this morning we're really standing on holy ground. I want to think of the exhortation here to wash one another's feet and to make that application to you and I here this morning. But there's some things I have to do before we really get to that. We have to look at the scene literally here, first of all. Look at verse number 1. There's something very personal here. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of the world unto the Father, having loved his own. He's talking about his own. When we talk about our own, we talk about something very close to us. Something special. We talk about our own husbands, our own wives, our own children, our own homes. Means something to us, something that really is special to us. When the Lord talks about you and I being his own, we're special to him this morning. Paul says, you're not your own. You're bought with a price. And so this morning, if you're saved, you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the one and others really concern God's people. I wonder, do you belong to the Savior this morning? Can the Lord call you his own this morning? You see, there was a problem here as well. Look at verse 2. There was one who wasn't his own. And supper being ended, the devil now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Look down to verse number 11. I'll explain this in a moment. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, you're not all clean. And he says about the disciples, you're not all clean. There's one who wasn't clean. His name was Judas. I wonder this morning, as you sit in the meeting and we're so glad to see you, do you know Jesus Christ this morning? Can the Lord Jesus call you his own this morning? If you take the word own and you apply it to Judas, you'll discover in Acts chapter 1 that after his death, he goes to his own place. When you look at Peter, for instance, it's such a different story. Because when we look at verse 36 in the chapter, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. The Lord Jesus was going. We know from John 14, he says he's going to his Father's house. There he's going to prepare for us a mansion. And Peter's told, one day, Peter, you're going to be there with me. But not Judas. Judas died, and he went to his own place. He went to hell. And before we even go any further this morning, the one and others, they're wonderful principles for anyone, but really they're for God's people this morning. Are you part of the family of God this morning? As Matthew said, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You see the scene literally. You see something personal. You see the problem. And then there's something perplexing here. Those who were here, something happens that really shocks them. Look at verse 4. He, the Lord Jesus, rises from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. They were astonished. Verse 6, then cometh he to Simon Peter. Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Peter's shocked. Shocked that the Lord would want to wash his feet. This was a shocking thing. Something they didn't expect to happen. As they sat around, normally a servant would wash the feet. There was none there. The Lord lifts the towel in the basin and begins to wash their feet. And they're shocked. I wonder if something happened in your life that has shocked you. Some circumstance that perhaps you're saying, God, that's not fair. And maybe it's not fair. It's not something you deserved. And yet it has happened. And you're shocked. If you look at verse number 1, it says, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, the hour is the time when he would go to the cross and die. And right through John's gospel, over and over again, he talks about the hour. Mine hour has not yet come. Jesus knew he was going to Calvary. He knew he was going to die. And he knew Judas was going to betray him. Nothing takes Jesus by surprise. And you might be shocked by something that's happened in your life this morning. But the Lord Jesus is not shocked. And I'm not trying to belittle it in any way. At the end of John's Gospel, we read that the Lord knows all things. The Lord knows all about your situation. It hasn't taken him by surprise. Will you trust him this morning? That's the best advice I can give you. You're shocked. Circumstances are not the way you would want them this morning. And maybe the Lord's just asking you, just trust him this morning. Easier said than done. But you know, that's the way you'll find peace. If you can trust him this morning. You see the scene literally this morning. I want to do this quickly because I want to get to the washing of the feet. Then you see the scene picturally this morning. We've already read verses 4 and 5. The Lord rises from supper. He lays aside his garments. It's a picture of what he was going to do at Calvary. Because at Calvary he'd be stripped of everything. He would humble himself, take the place of a low, low servant. He would pour out his precious blood that sinners might be cleansed. And then he would rise from the dead and ascend and sit down again at the right hand of the Father on high. The Lord Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. He knew exactly the picture that he was painting. Verse number 7, Jesus said unto them, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. They didn't really understand it, but the Lord says, you'll understand it. After Calvary, you'll understand what I've been doing. You'll understand the taking off the garments. You'll understand the humbling. You'll understand the pouring out and the washing and the work being finished and me sitting down again. You'll understand it by and by. And again, it's another verse that we often seek to find comfort in. What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Some things happen in our lives and we can't make sense of them. I would never try to explain them and I'd never try to excuse them. And I'm always reluctant even to use a verse like this, but for the people of God to find a verse like this, for the Lord just to speak into your heart and say, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. And I think the greatest comfort in that is the words, what I do. Disciples didn't know what was going on, but Jesus was at work. And even though you don't know what's happening, You don't understand it. You can't see the end from the beginning. It doesn't make sense to you. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ is at work. Yes, it was a perplexing thing for them. You see the scene literally. You see the scene picturally. It's a picture of what Christ was going to do at the cross. We want to look at the scene technically. Look at verse 5 again. And after he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded, then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. And then we see what happens in verse 8. Peter said, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me, not in me, but with me. It's speaking of fellowship. Whatever the Lord was doing was a picture of fellowship. Verse 9, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but my hands and my head. Then Peter goes to the other extreme. Lord, wash me all. That's the explanation in verse 10. Then said he unto them, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are all clean, but not all. And of course that was Judas. See the first word washed, it means a bath. And it's a picture of salvation. It's a once and for all washing. When the priest was being consecrated in the Old Testament times, he would be washed once and for all. And then the garments would be placed on. And so the Lord says, he that is washed doesn't need to be washed again. You don't need to be saved over again. You can't lose your salvation. Look at verse 10 again. Jesus said unto him, He that is washed all over needs not save to wash. That's a different word. That talks about washing the hands or washing the feet. And it's a picture. And when the disciples would walk through the dusty land in Israel with their sandals on, their feet would pick up dirt. And that feet had to be washed. They didn't need an overall washing, but they needed their feet to be washed. It's a picture of you and I as we walk through this world. We sin. Sometimes we sin deliberately. Sometimes we even sin unknowingly. Sometimes we're placed in a position, we fall into sin unexpectedly. And as you journey throughout the world at your place of work, wherever you happen to be day by day, very often your feet get dirty, spiritually speaking. And you need to come and you need to have that fresh washing. Remember the Old Testament priest again? He was washed all over, once and for all. But when he would come to serve in the tabernacle, he had to wash at the laver. And you and I need that daily washing. Paul talked about being washed by the water of the word. We need to spend time in the word of God to get that daily cleansing. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Spiritually this morning, have you come with dirty feet? You've been mixing with the world all week. Have you fallen into sin? Have you dabbled in sin? The Lord says, you have no part with me. You can have no fellowship with me if your hands and your feet are not clean this morning. And so you need that fresh washing. You need that fresh cleansing. Maybe you're thinking this morning, who me? Think about Peter. Peter was a man of position. One of the disciples. He was a man of prominence, one of the leading men. And yet the Lord says, you need to get your feet washed or you have no part with me. And you and I need to have that daily and fresh cleansing that we may be in fellowship with the Lord. I love the way Peter reacts in verse 9. I know this, he's wrong. But when he said, wash me all over, the thought of being out of fellowship with the Lord was something Peter couldn't bear. Oh, he says, Lord, wash me all over. You can see his sentiment even if he got it wrong. Do you care this morning? Would you really care if there's sin in your life that's unconfessed? Would it really bother you that you could be out of fellowship with the Lord? If we regard iniquity in our hearts, he won't hear us. We can't really pray. We can't serve him effectively. We can't worship him sincerely. We can't live effectively either. If there's unconfessed sin that hasn't been dealt with, but do you care this morning? Peter cared. Peter says, wash me all over. Would we have that burning desire this morning? See the scene literally. I'll do this quickly. See the scene picturally. It's a little picture of Calvary. You see the scene technically, what the Lord really meant about the two words that were used for washing. Let me say something about the scene erroneously. We're down at verse 14. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet, for I have given you example that ye should do as I have done unto you. Now, some churches have taken this and created a third ordinance called feet washing. Now, I don't want to be critical this morning. I'm sure they're doing it with all sincerity. But is that what the Lord meant? Was the Lord saying, as an assembly of believers, there should be feet washing literally take place in the meeting? Is that what really he meant? Well, the very fact that Jesus said, what I do thou knowest not now, would cause me to think that's not really what he meant. Because if it was simply a matter of introducing an ordinance that you washed one another's feet, literally, practically, here in the assembly as part of the meeting, well, we would understand that, and they would have understood it. There was something deeper behind it, something more intense behind it, and I think we've tried to explain that this morning. You look at verse number 15. Jesus didn't say, I've given you an ordinance. He said, I've given you an example. It was an example for you and I to follow. And let me say this, that the disciples really needed their feet washed. It wasn't for display, it wasn't for show. Very often when there's feet washing going on in churches, people will come and their feet are clean. This was really needed. This was something that was practical, and someone whose feet was really dirty, it wasn't a show. So I don't believe that's what the Lord Jesus intended. You see the scene literally, you see the scene picturally, you see the scene technically, erroneously. I want to look at it pointedly. This is really what I want to do in the closing part of the meeting this morning. Let me talk about an argument first of all. If we were to follow this chronologically, we would have to go to Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, and this is what we read. There was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And among God's people, the disciples, they were jockeying for position. If you like, they wanted to be near the throne when the Lord Jesus would establish his kingdom. Now, they've got a little thing mixed up here and there, but we can see what they're trying to do. They wanted to be number one. Then when they come into the upper room, they're all sitting around the table. There's a towel, there's a basin, there's no servant to be seen. Who's going to wash their feet? And the men who wanted the throne weren't interested in the towel. See the lesson the Lord's trying to teach? There's many who want to reach for the throne, but very few who want to put their hands to the towel and do those tasks that are menial and unseen and yet very necessary. Jesus said, he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger. He that is chief, as he that doth serve. Have you a high horse this morning? And you're going to have to dismount if the Lord Jesus is going to use you. There's a towel and a basin. See next week. Every day there's a towel and a basin. See at Castlewell and Show, there were lots of towels and basins. See at the drive-in church, there's towels and there's basins all the time. There's so much that has to be done, and sometimes people are jockeying for position. But very few want to reach for the towel. You see the argument? I'm just making some applications here this morning. Let me mention something already, and that's just a little point, because we've been looking at the one another's. You see, I believe to wash one another's feet is all the one another's. Perhaps this would have been a good one to end with, but I want to finish next week looking at loving one another. But really, washing one another's feet, it takes in everything. See, when you bear one another's burdens, you see, when you serve one another, when you forbear one another, when you forgive one another, when you edify one another, when you encourage one another, when you pray for one another, some we didn't look at, in honor, when you prefer one another, when you comfort one another, when you greet each other with a holy kiss, you know what you're doing? You're washing each other's feet. You're doing something for your brother or sister in the Lord. And you're reaching for the towel and you're reaching for the basin. You see, there was an argument here, who would be the greatest. Maybe that's what the Lord has for you this morning. It's time to come off the high horse. You see the argument, you see what already we have covered. I believe also it's about attitude this morning. I think when you wash someone's feet, there's a wonderful attitude. And just use your imagination. If you're standing there and someone is down below you and they're washing your feet, you know this, they're on their knees because of you. Do you know this? They're never going to look down on you because they're below you. You know something else? They're saying, I'm not too busy for you. I'm taking time to wash your feet. I remember being in India and we got our feet washed. And the water was freezing. And it wasn't a pleasant experience. Let me say this, they're not going to use freezing water. They're not going to use boiling hot water. You see, they're not going to give you the cold shoulder. They're not going to roast you with their tongue. Because they're washing your feet. Know something else? They have your best interests at heart. Now turn it around. Is that what we're like this morning? You see, I believe it's well beyond just sitting down and washing someone's feet practically in a meeting like this. I think it goes to your heart this morning. What's your attitude like? When it comes to service. You see the argument, they wanted to be the greatest, and the Lord sets this wonderful example. You see the things we've covered already, the one and others. You see the attitude as you use your imagination. And then let me say some things, I've just called them amazing. You see, think of the place that Jesus takes here. This was the work of a slave. This was a servant. When you would come into the home, they would wash your feet. And here's the Lord Jesus Christ, of all the people in the room, he sets aside his rights and he humbles himself and he washes their feet. Sometimes we live in an age when it's all about our rights. And if you teach people about their rights, you'll have a rebellion. See, when you teach people about their responsibilities, you can have a revival. And the Lord Jesus took that humble place. He was, when we take that place, we recognize that there's no task beneath us. We recognize we're thinking of others more highly than ourselves. We're getting our focus off what we deserve and our rights and what we're doing for Jesus Christ. See the place he took. Do you see the pleading? The very fact there was no pleading. Someone didn't have to go to the Lord Jesus and bend his arm and speak into his ear and say, Lord, would you wash their feet? Here's someone who does something without being asked. Isn't it lovely when you're organizing something and people come and say, what can I do for you? Isn't it an awful thing when you have to get text message after text message so that you might respond? Isn't it an awful thing when you have to have your arm twisted up your back to do something for Jesus Christ? See, when you wash one another's feet, you're saying, what can I do to help? What can I do? Whatever it is, there's nothing beneath me. That's an attitude of washing one another's feet. You see, you take the place, that humble place. Nobody has to plead with you. Sometimes we think we're doing the Lord Jesus an honour if we turn up. The Lord Jesus didn't have to be asked. Think of the prize. What was Jesus going to get out of this? Nothing. There was no reward. There was no clap on the back. We don't even read that any of them said thank you. Are you waiting for man's applause and man's approval? Will you do it if you get recognition? I'll do it if it increases my respectability, if it gives me a greater position in the church, then certainly I'll do it. But Jesus did it just because it had to be done. No reward was asked for. No reward was given. No reward was expected. You see what it means to wash one another's feet? See the place he took, it was humbling. You see the pleading, didn't have to beg him to do it. See the prize, there was nothing in it for Jesus. Do you see the pleasure? He did it with a willing heart. You know, if you ever have somebody doing something for you, and you really know they'd rather be somewhere else,
and their heart's not really in it.
And I would say to you this week, if you're in the Holiday Bible Club, say if your heart's not in it, you're better not in it. Jesus Christ put everything into it. It was his joy to serve the people. It was a pleasure for him. Isn't it great to work with people who love to serve the Lord? How refreshing it is. What a blessing it is. See what it means to wash one another's feet. You see the place, you see the pleading, you see the prize, you see the pleasure. Then you see the people. Think of the feet that he was washing. Simon Peter, in a few hours, would deny him with oaths and curses. Jesus knew that. He washed the feet of Judas Iscariot, who was going to betray him. Already was in the process of betraying him. Jesus knew that. All the disciples forsook him and fled. Jesus knew that. Thomas would doubt him. Jesus knew that, and yet he washed their feet. He didn't just wash the feet of those he liked. He washed all of their feet. Of course, the Lord Jesus loves everyone, but what about you and I this morning? Yes, we'll help if we're with people we like. Yes, we'll throw our weight in if we can pick the people we work with or work for. Jesus just washed all of their feet, didn't matter who they were. Notice the persistence. You wouldn't see it in the English. Verse 5 says Jesus began to wash. Then it talks about wiping. I'm no Greek scholar, as you know, but it speaks of continual, ongoing activity. He didn't come to the first foot, wash it, and say, I've done my bit. He went round them all. And he didn't throw the towel in halfway. But of course, Jesus was in the business of finishing the work. What about you this morning? Was there a time when you could be counted on, but not today? Was there a time when that seat on a Sunday morning always had you on it, but you can't say that anymore? It's not what it used to be. When the Lord Jesus began, he finished. And he continued the work that he was doing. You know, I scribbled these down this morning. I had my message already prepared, but I love to spend time on the Lord's Day morning just going over things again. And I said he could have waited. He could have let this opportunity pass him by. I'm talking about Jesus Christ. He could have sat on and said, surely somebody else will do it. And of course, any one of them could have done it. And I know this is not an exact application, but do you ever wait around the table and you ask a brother to pray? Do you ever get the feeling that they're waiting for someone else to do it? Isn't it an awful thing if the Lord lays something in your heart and you just want to get up and thank the Lord? But you sit and you sit and you sit. You say, somebody else will do it. Somebody else will do it. Somebody else will do it. That's not what Jesus did. Think of how petty this job was. Think of how insignificant and unspiritual it looks. And yet Jesus was willing to do it. I think there's much more to washing one another's feet than having a feet washing ceremony in front of the congregation. I think it goes much deeper, and it goes right into your heart and right into my heart. See the scene pointedly this morning. The argument, who would be the greatest? How ashamed they must have felt. They already, think of all the one another's we've covered. Think of the attitude when you're on your knees washing someone's feet. What an attitude. Think of all these amazing things that we've pointed out about Jesus Christ. Let me make one final application. There's so much here. Washing one another's feet is a ministry of forgiveness. We've already looked at forgiving one another, but remember, the picture was their feet being dirty. If you like, it was sin in their lives. And yet the Lord Jesus is saying when he's washing their feet, I'm willing to forgive your sin. Is there someone you need to forgive?
And as I've said before, we can take all of these one another's, we can bring them into our marriages. He may have hurt you, he may have said something. Isn't it time to forgive him? Isn't it time to forgive her? Isn't it time to let go?
It's a ministry of forgiveness. I believe it's a ministry of cleansing. Remember when we looked at bearing one another's burdens, the context is a brother or sister who's fallen into sin and you try to restore them. Isn't that what Jesus is doing when he's washing their feet? It's a picture of the restoration. I'm willing to take that sin away from you. I'm willing and hoping that you'll get restored into that fellowship with me again. Isn't that a ministry for God's people too? Aren't we washing one another's feet when we're sharing the scripture with a brother or sister? And I said last week when we pray for one another, do you keep an eye out like Moses when he stood up and could see what was going on for those who are battling, those who are weary, those who are going through difficult times? Do you try and draw aside and try and help them with scriptures? Now, it's for those who are spiritual. Ye who are spiritual. And when we do that, we're surely washing one another's feet. Washing one another's feet is a ministry of refreshment. It's a blessing, isn't it? Are you a blessing when you draw alongside people? See, I think of encouraging one another. And we've already looked at it. Isn't that a wonderful blessing? You know, someone who's been striving and striving and striving, and they just need you to say, that's really good. Thank you. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for the time you put into teaching my children in the Sunday school. Thank you for all the time you put into whatever someone does. And all the different services that go on in this assembly and maybe even other places. What a blessing we are when we wash one another's feet. Washing one another's feet is a ministry of humble service in ways that might be unpleasant. For Jesus to wash their feet, he had to get out of his comfort zone. You know, as they sat reclining around the table with their feet protruding out, I'm told it would look like like spokes in a bicycle wheel. And you would go round the feet one by one and wash them. How much more comfortable it would be just to recline back and get your feet washed? Are you comfortable this morning? Maybe the Lord wants you to move out of your comfort zone. You know, I'm never comfortable with giving somebody a gospel tract. It scares me. But there's times the Lord has had to take me out of my comfort zone. It's never comfortable to speak a word about Christ. It's easier to speak about the weather, to speak about politics, to speak about football, to speak about anything. Farming, whatever. And those things are important to speak to people about, but it's so hard to speak about Jesus Christ. It's uncomfortable, isn't it? Is the Lord asking you to get out of your comfort zone? Do something that doesn't come naturally. Do something you have to depend on the Lord to do. We've looked at the scene literally, picturally, technically, erroneously. And really what I wanted to do was look at the scene pointedly. I can't finish with anything better than reading verse 14 and asking you the question, has the Lord presented you with a towel and a basin? I don't know where it's at. If I then, said Jesus, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. Let's bow in a moment's prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy word this morning. And Lord, it has challenged my heart. So often, Lord, it's so easier to go for the throne, to want to be at the top, to seek the applause of men. So difficult, Lord, just to go down and lift the towel in the basin and wash somebody's feet. Lord, I don't know what it means to some people here this morning. But Lord, I believe they know and you know.
And Lord, as you speak into our hearts this morning, help us, Lord, to follow the Lord Jesus Christ's example. To get out of the comfort zone. To get the towel and the basin in our hands. And to wash the feet that the Lord has set before us. Bless thy word to our hearts this morning. Encourage the people of God. And Lord, as we say so often, what a band of people we would be if the one and others were the norm among God's people in Refrailand. Bless thy word to our hearts. For it's in our Saviour's name we pray. Amen.
We're going to sing a hymn which exhorts